The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Ross. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Ross, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Wisdom Wednesday with Greg Cosell. A lot to get to with the civilian GOAT. And we are always doing it presented by DraftKings. Speaking, by the way, of a lot to get to, how about just going over the Stephen Ross Dolphin stuff, the Deshaun Watson stuff? I mean, there's a lot of big news that happened after we finished talking to Booger McFarland on Monday. In fact, the Deshaun Watson suspension came down, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes after Booger and I finished. We didn't know it'd be that early on Monday morning. Tomorrow already will be the last Ross Tucker Football Podcast of the week. You can, of course, check out the College Draft, Fantasy Feast, Even Money. We've had a great week. Tomorrow we're going to have Jason Horwitz. You may not know who that is, but you will soon. He is now the voice of the Las Vegas Raiders. Imagine getting hired to be the voice of the Raiders, you know, which, by the way, we'll talk about Vin Scully a little bit later, who had some football tie-ins as well. But I just thought you guys would think it was cool to feel what it would be like to be hired as the voice of an NFL team, let alone a legendary NFL team. So Jason will join us tomorrow. We'll also have a Spread the Word winner via social media. Easiest contest I'm aware of. Just do it today. At Ross Tucker NFL, at Ross Tucker Pod. Just quote tweet, I love Greg. I never miss a Greg episode, whatever. And you have a great chance to win. Sponsors are amazing. Athletic Greens tomorrow. My Raycon earbuds today. In fact, I got them right next to me. I'm gonna hold them up while you guys watch on YouTube. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL. It's Big Show time.
The Big Show.
You know him. You love him. His name is Greg Cosell. He's been at NFL Films for 43 years. I coined the nickname the Civilian GOAT because I think he's the greatest film watcher and evaluator of all time that never worked for an NFL team. And by the way, he's better than a lot of people that do work for NFL. Just because you work for an NFL team once doesn't mean you're better than Greg. It just means he's better than everybody that has it. Okay, just so we're clear here. There's plenty of guys that work for an NFL team for 2 years that don't know, what's the expression? Poop from Shinola or whatever. They don't know nearly as much as Greg knows. Put it that way. Greg, everybody is talking about Deshaun Watson and the suspension and what Roger Goodell will do in the NFL and whether they will appeal it, and they have until tomorrow and blah, 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 blah. That's not what I ask you. I feel like on some level, Greg, we have forgotten what kind of player he is. Honestly, we know he's good, okay? When I last recall us talking, I remember thinking you saying you thought like he played some of the best football of his career when the Texans went 4-12, which is really weird because of all the other years when the Texans would win double digits.
Yeah.
And I remember you thinking he was kind of up and down a little bit. So explain.
Yeah, and again, people tend to look at one loss record and they assign that to the quarterback, Ross, as you know. But there was a stretch, I thought, where Watson, for a 6 or 7 game stretch, played the best football of his career. I always thought that Deshaun Watson, he's a good thrower of the football. We know he can move and make improvisational plays. He's a very good second reaction player. But I always thought Deshaun Watson, in his own way, was struggling to find that balance between making throws from the pocket that were there and then moving outside of the pocket. Now, as we know, players that can move outside the pocket then can make special plays. But obviously, that's not the way the position is taught. And I thought he always sort of was struggling to find that balance. And I thought for a 6 or 7, maybe it was 8 games, I can't remember exactly, it's been a while, but I thought for a stretch there, he played at a really, really high level. Because Watson is a very good thrower of the football. When he plays that way, he plays with a really refined sense of timing. And then the movement becomes a parachute. And I think that's the way it should be. Maybe I'm old school. Some people might say that. But again, you know that I talk to a lot of coaches, and we know how the position is taught. And we know that coaches don't roll the ball out and say, let's run around today. So I think that there was a stretch where I thought Watson really, really improved and played at an extremely high level. Now, he hasn't played for a year. I don't think he really practiced last year either. Did he, Ross?
That's a great question. He was out there, but he wasn't actually practicing.
Yeah,
I don't recollect.
So, I mean, I'm not suggesting he's not going to come back and be a good player. I'm sure he will be because he's skilled. I think he's a really smart player and aware player. So at some point, he'll get back to being what he was. The question is, depending on whether the 6 games are 6 or whether it ends up being more, only time will tell that. But when you miss a lot of football, my guess is it would take some time.
It would be weird if it didn't take some time.
Yeah.
Right. Like on some level, it would sort of fly in the face of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and all these guys, Drew, that they want every rep. They want every practice rep. Now, listen, he was there for OTAs. He's there for training camp. Heck, they might give him some time in preseason games. I don't know.
Right.
But it's weird because there's a stop, start. You know, he's not going to be suspended less than 6 games. It might be more, but it's not going to be less.
Correct.
So it'll be very interesting to see what he's like when he comes back.
Hey, I have a question. You may know the answer to this, and then I know we want to move on. When you're suspended, I know he can go through training camp, but once the season starts, can he be?
Can't even be in the facility.
That's what I thought. Okay, so for 6 weeks, he's not practicing. He's not doing any of that.
Can't even be in the facility.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my understanding. Unless they changed that in the latest CBA, and I don't think they did. Can't even be in the facility, which is a whole other thing. I mean, you know, when guys are hurt for that long, they're usually not in their best that first week they come back. I mean, especially at that position, it's such a timing and rhythm position. Again, it would be kind of weird, Greg, if let's say they up it to 8 games or 10. Let's just say it's 6 games. Let's say they keep it. You know, that first game back, there's going to have to be some timing issues, right? Otherwise, what are we even doing out here?
Yeah, because the first time he'll practice would be the week leading up to that game.
Right. In his stead, Greg, will be Jacoby Brissett. Although I need to go back and look at this. I'm a little confused as to why the Browns traded Case Keenum to Buffalo and then signed Brissett when they knew Watson was going to miss a bunch of games. I don't really remember why they did that.
Yeah, that I can't answer. But, I mean, you know, Jacoby Brissett's an interesting player. I kind of liked him coming out of North Carolina State. He's a big kid. He could throw it. The issue, and he moves well. The issue that he's always had in the league has been what I call elimination and isolation. You could see that Jacoby Brissett gets stuck in the pocket a lot without throwing the football. And that tells you that he's not seeing things clearly because there are throws to be made. Obviously, I've watched his tape over the years, but he just doesn't see it with the needed speed and the needed clarity. So he gets stuck in the pocket and ends up checking it down a lot or ends up moving a lot. But he just doesn't throw the ball down the field because for whatever reason, It's not there to him. And that's always been an issue for him in the league. And I think that's one reason, Ross, why he's never really lived up to what his talent looks like. There were times at North Carolina State where I thought he looked like, in the way in which he played, that he looked like a Ben Roethlisberger. Big kid, good arm, moved well, made those kinds of special plays where it seemed like he shed bodies and made throws. And I know he was a lot of people liked him coming out because apparently he's a great, great kid too. But it just never worked for him in the league because I just don't think he sees it at the necessary speed and timing.
All right, so I want to make sure you distinguish between these two. We hear you say a lot, Greg, that some of these guys don't take the throws that are there and they look to get out of the pocket. They look to get out and be second reaction. Now you're saying, on some level, Brissett stays in the pocket too long, you know, gets stuck in the pocket. I think I know what you mean. But listen, not everybody has played football or watched. I want you to distinguish between those two. Because on one hand, you're saying, well, Deshaun Watson and some of these other guys, Mahomes, leave the pocket too early. Now you're saying Brissett gets stuck in the pocket. Should he leave it earlier than he does?
Well, as you know, Ross, every play call, every pass play has a route concept and a route combination. And you call plays with the idea that you anticipate a specific coverage. Now, you're not always going to get that coverage. So built into route concepts and combinations are throws that work against multiple coverages. And obviously the quarterback has to know what the coverage is so he knows where to go with the football. The great quarterbacks kind of figure that out before the snap a high percentage of the time. The Tom Brady's of the world, you know, they know what the coverage is pretty much before the ball snapped. But sometimes you have to take the snap and take a step or two in your drop, and then it becomes clear because defenses do disguise and they use late movement. But quarterbacks see that, and then they immediately know where to go with the football. There's two ways that quarterbacks respond to that when they don't quite get when the picture isn't as clear as they would like it to be, or when they don't feel that they have a throw. Some quarterbacks stay in the pocket and they try to figure it out. Okay, if you do that, more often than not, too much time passes, you get stuck and bad things happen. Other quarterbacks, when they don't see it and figure it out, they leave the pocket because they can and they're good at it. And Deshaun Watson would fall into that category at times. Jacoby Brissett falls into the former category where he gets stuck. Even though he has good movement, he gets stuck. He just waits for it. He waits to see it. And if you have to wait, Ross, in this league, as you know, you're beat.
There is no time to wait. You're dead. Okay, let's get into some of these receivers because I think this is interesting. Now, you and I don't talk money often, Greg. And as you say, the money is the money. The cap's going up. That's what guys are getting paid, et cetera. We get that. I get that. However, I do think it's interesting. It feels like there's been a little bit of a change, Greg. At some point, there was sort of a thought process that if you have a good system and a really good quarterback, there's kind of a bunch of receivers you could plug in and that offense would flourish or that offense could function at a high level, right? You look at these contracts that these guys are all getting, Greg, it feels like that's changed. It feels like teams no longer think that's the case, that if you have a high-level quarterback, you have a good quarterback, you can function with the quarterback, with the receivers you have in a good system. They are paying big, big money for wide receivers. The latest since our last episode, DK Metcalf and Deebo Samuel. I guess before I get into any specific player, and maybe you can reference it talking with them, do you agree with sort of this trend? Do you agree with the philosophy of, boy, you really need one of these big-name, difference-making receivers?
Well, you know, and that's a really fascinating question because I think it depends on how you want to play. Like, I'll give you an example. I would say that when you watch the Rams offense, okay, the Rams offense to me is not built on a receiver winning one-on-one. We know Cooper Kupp set records a year ago, and we know he's a very good receiver. We've discussed him over the past year or so. But their offense is not built on, hey, we've got a big-time boundary X. He's going to win one-on-one. We're going to throw him the football. You know, they don't play, let's say, the way the Saints used Michael Thomas when he played a couple of years ago and had big numbers where he predominantly lined up at boundary X, and you get a lot of one-on-one matchups, and your receiver wins. The Rams are much more of a team that's schematic in how they go about their route concepts and their route combinations. Now, there's always some one-on-ones, no question. But there are teams that basically say, hey, we have our guys, you know, we're going to line up. Like Mike Evans is a boundary X predominantly for the Bucs. He gets a lot of one-on-one matchups on the outside. Brady throws him the ball, and it's one-on-one. You know, so it depends on how you play on offense. You know, obviously, everybody would agree that having better players is better than not having better players. You know, that's a given. But we're also in a league where the ball is thrown an awful lot, and receivers are going to get targets and they're going to get receptions. So you have to decide, number one, what a receiver's skill set is, the best way to deploy him, and then how important he is in the context of your offense. I mean, I think we could all agree that Deebo Samuel is really, really important in the context of the 49ers offense. Now, it's a different debate as to whether we think Deebo Samuel is as good or better than Davante Adams. That's a different question. But to the Niners, he is a really, really valuable player for reasons that I'm sure everybody knows.
Well, I want you to expound upon that a little bit. I think people know, but it does seem like, I mean, clearly the Niners felt that way because he wanted out, supposedly. They were not going to let it happen, and they gave him the contract. Why is he so important to what they do?
And now it becomes a great question as to how their offense changes a bit with Trey Lance, because Trey Lance, to use a term that I've seen, is a plus one quarterback, meaning that he can give you second reaction plays, which Jimmy Garoppolo could not. And Lance also gives you the play action boot pass game, which Garoppolo couldn't give you. But for the most part, Kyle Shanahan's pass game is very, very rhythm based. So what Samuel is really, really good at, number one, he gets off the line of scrimmage. He's physical and he's explosive in short space. And when you throw a lot of short timing throws, as they did with Garoppolo, run after catch becomes critical. And run after catch is an absolute strength of Samuel's game. You know, Samuel would not be considered a true vertical dimension. You know, every receiver gets vertical once in a while, but you don't think of Deebo Samuel and say, boy, that guy can run. You know, he's physical, he's competitive, he's phenomenal run after catch. He can be used in motion, and the Niners use motion as much or more than any team in the league, and that's a critical piece of what they do. Now, motion is not only used in the pass game, it's used in the run game, as you know. That's a different discussion and a different question, but they use him a ton in motion. They get him free access off the ball. They want to get him the ball in space. We know they use him as a running back. So he fits very much what they do, Ross.
What about DK Metcalf in Seattle, which I think is really interesting, Greg, because, I mean, Pete Carroll says they want to run the ball.
Yeah.
We know what their quarterback situation is right now. Russell Wilson's gone, and yet in what appears to be a rebuilding year, they really prioritized DK Metcalf in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know that Pete wants to play a certain way. He played that way with Russell Wilson. He's likely to play that way now. They drafted Kenneth Walker in the second round. They drafted Charles Cross, the left tackle, in the first round. They want to line up and be physical and run. That's the Pete Carroll philosophy. But you still have to throw it. Now, DK Metcalf came in the league, predominantly played boundary X. He's your classic big boundary X receiver, single receiver to the short side of the field. You get a lot of one-on-one matchups. He's developed, but predominantly he is a movement receiver, vertical routes, crossing routes, slant routes, glance routes. You want to get him the ball with his big body and his explosive movement. You want to get him the ball on the move. Now, they've started to move him around a bit more just as he's learned more and they want to do other things, because you don't want to just line up a receiver in the same spot every time. But he is uniquely talented at 6'4", 230 with that kind of explosive speed. There are not many guys like DK Metcalf. So it's not surprising that he gets signed because there's just not many like him.
You know, I think that's a big miss by the NFL team. I mean, a lot of people passed on him, Greg.
Yeah.
Because the idea was that he wasn't a great route runner, right?
Well, and you know, there's two things. And again, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, Ross, okay? But there's two things when I hear people talk about when they evaluate receivers coming out of college and they say, well, you know, he didn't run a complete route tree. That to me is a meaningless evaluation point because, first of all, even in the NFL, a lot of receivers don't run every single route. You know that. I mean, nobody runs necessarily every single route. And plus, you get coached. It's the coach's responsibility to teach guys, you know, the position of wide receiver. The college game is different than the NFL game. You know, once you get to the NFL, you theoretically line up in different places. Splits dictate your releases. Splits dictate angle of routes. You know, there's a lot of things that are involved in playing wide receiver in the NFL, and that's the coach's responsibility. Now, if you truly believe, let's say, a player is incapable of learning, that's a different question. But just to say, based on his college tape, well, he only lined up on the left. I mean, Gabriel Davis, when he was in college, lined up on every single snap about 3 yards from the sideline on the left side of the formation. Okay?
And Greg either ran a go route.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they just threw him the ball on a look pass.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran like two routes.
And I've heard from people that this kid's incredibly intelligent, okay? And in Buffalo's offense, he lines up outside in the slot. I mean, you get to the NFL, you get taught. That's the idea. So, you know, just to say, well, you know, he's not a good prospect because he only did this, you know, that to me is not the best way to evaluate a receiver.
So two guys got hurt. Greg, one's done for the year. One might be. I just want to get your quick hit thoughts. Broncos receiver Tim Patrick, Cowboys receiver James Washington.
Yeah, Patrick is a player I really like, and I'm really sorry to see that because I was looking forward to their offense as a whole because you could argue from a skill position standpoint, they have everything you want. They had wide receivers, two good backs, tight ends that I think are on the come a little bit. And Patrick was sort of an unknown given that they had Sutton, that they drafted Judy in the first round, even KJ Hamler, who I guess will be back, and he becomes even more critical now because he'll be the number three. It'll be interesting to see how they line up their players, you know, and I think there'll be a lot of movement involved with how they do that. But Patrick was big. I thought he actually moved pretty good too, Ross. I mean, you know, he could get vertical. So I think that's a big loss, a bigger loss than people might think. On the other hand, James Washington was important to the Cowboys, really. He hasn't done a whole lot in his career, but the Cowboys know that Gallup will not be ready early in the season. The next two guys, I think, are Simi Fehoko, who was a draft choice a year ago out of Stanford, big and can run, traits similar to Chase Claypool, and then who they drafted this year, Jalen Tolbert, second or third round, I can't remember.
Third,
but Tolbert is kind of a long, smooth, fluid athlete who, you know, I think predominantly is an outside receiver. And I think those two guys, someone's going to have to be able to play very early and be some kind of factor.
His name is Greg Cosell. We love him. He's fantastic. Might be joining me on Friday. In fact, he is. At 1 p.m. on the Jim Rome show. So, yeah, I didn't tell you guys yet. I'm filling in for Jim Rome the next 2 days, which will be fun, noon to 3. It's on 3 hours on TV, just my big fat head on TV for 3 hours, back-to-back days. Thankfully, Greg will join me on Friday, so now you have to watch or listen to that. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Ross. Appreciate it.
You know what I appreciate? Raycon earbuds. I literally just had to lean back and grab them. I'm charging them right now. Those of you watching on YouTube, you're seeing me hold these up. I cannot tell you how much I love these things. Every time I ride my bike, every time we drive and I want to listen to something that my wife and daughters don't want to listen to, I pop one Raycon earbud. I actually listen to articles now. I open a web browser and I found this app. Anyway, that doesn't matter. What matters is they've got optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit. 8 hours of playtime. I've never gotten it less than one of the green beeps. Like, there's four green things that light up when you're charging them. I have them on for 2 hours at a time, sometimes 3 hours at a time. It's amazing. Love the noise isolation. Love that you can just press the earbud to turn it off or on. Go to buyraycon.com/Tucker today to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's buyraycon.com/Tucker to score 15% off. buyraycon.com/Tucker.
When you want to grow your business, use Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Seamlessly collaborate with your team using a suite of built-in tools and features to make your workday easier, like huddles to schedule impromptu meetings and avoid another calendar invite, or Workflow Builder, which lets you automate routine tasks so you can spend more time on the work that matters most. Slack. Grow your business here. Learn more at slack.com.
Tuck Takes.
All right, Ross, let's start today. The big news that came down yesterday, the NFL suspends Dolphins owner Stephen Ross 6 games and a day, fined $1.5 million, loses a first and a third round pick after the Tom Brady / Sean Payton tampering investigations, but does not find any tanking per the accusations from former head coach Brian Flores.
Well, geez, I mean, there's a lot to get to here. The tampering with Tom Brady goes back to like 2019 and 2020. This is a wild story. I mean, this is an NFL owner who tried to get a quarterback from another team and a coach from another team while they were both under contract with other organizations. It's bad. It's a bad look for Stephen Ross, bad look for the owner. And by the way, I think it's funny because on some level you can say, well, at least he's being punished for trying to do things to win as opposed to trying to do things to lose. They did find that he said something to Flores about getting $100,000 per loss. But they, as I had predicted, remember this? As I predicted, he said he was joking, which, by the way, even if he was, he's the boss. He's the owner. And there's always a little bit of truth to sarcasm, right? So he goes, oh, I'll give you 100 grand per loss. Ha, ha, ha. That means he wants you to lose. Like, he's joking. Like, even if he is, here's my point. Even if he is joking, he's not. So I'm always a little bit skeptical of some of these NFL internal investigations because it feels like they sort of get the result that they are looking for sometimes.
Tuck's Takes.
So right after we finished recording with Booger McFarland the other day, the word comes down. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson suspended 6 games for violating the personal conduct policy, but not found to have been violent or used any coercion. NFL, no announcement yet on a possible appeal.
Right. So they have to announce by tomorrow. It'll be very interesting to see what they decide. I think most people, I think maybe I saw a report last night that the NFL is expected to file an appeal. That appeal is then heard by either Roger Goodell or his designee. It'll probably be his designee so he can stay separate unless Raj wants to come in and suspend him for the year and be the hero. It's interesting because on some level, they created the impression that there's a more fair process now with the latest CBA. Oh, independent arbitrator, you know, we pick them together. Sue Robinson, we picked her together. Okay. They almost did the NFL a solid with this. Because rather than Goodell issuing the initial discipline and getting all the criticism, now they have this independent person who gets the criticism And then Goodell comes in after he knows how everybody feels about it, and he can go up to 8 games, 10 games, 12 games, maybe suspend him for the whole year. But whatever decision he makes, he'll know that he's doing what the majority of people want him to do. It's really amazing when you think about it.
Ducks takes.
As you and Greg talked earlier, Cowboys, James Washington has fractured foot. Broncos, Tim Patrick, torn ACL, both out indefinitely.
Never a good thing. You know, for the Broncos, it hurts their depth as much as anything else. For the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb is like a lone soldier early in this year in terms of guys that are known commodities. I mean, it's not great. You know, we'll see what Tolbert can do. Greg mentioned Fehoko. They still have Noah Brown there. But this is because Gallup's on PUP, that makes the Washington loss a more significant one.
Ducks takes.
Vikings tight end Irv Smith and Rams wide receiver Van Jefferson going for surgery, while Bills safety Jordan Poyer hyperextends an elbow.
It sounds like Irv Smith, I think he had surgery on his thumb, Van Jefferson knee. Sounds like there's a chance both those guys are back for week one. So maybe not too much of a concern there yet. They think Jordan Poyer will be as well. So all these guys have a great chance to get back for week one, but that doesn't always happen.
Ducks takes.
A few big contracts that were just announced. Steelers kicker Chris Boswell, Patriots punter Jake Bailey, and Cardinals left tackle DJ Humphreys.
Well, good for those guys. You know my philosophy. I like when everybody gets paid, like when everybody gets as many people as possible to get life-altering financial security or to max out their gifts and their hard work as possible. It's a little bit of a punch to the gut sometimes when kickers and punters sign contracts to make way, way more than I did. But that's my issue, not theirs. Congratulations to those guys. Make sure you check out Fantasy Feast today as tears of Dolan roll on. There is no better thing to listen to get you ready for your fantasy football drafts than Tears of Dolan on the Fantasy Feast. Plus, we talked about how to bet on preseason games if you're interested, and some more season win totals, which is basically just teams that Kiev likes and doesn't like going into this year. Check me out on Jim Rome next couple days if you get a chance. Would love to get your feedback. Would love to have some of you guys actually call in. Why don't you call in on the number? We can actually chat live on the show. I'll take a bunch of calls. Make sure you tell the call screener you're a Ross Tucker Podcast diehard. That'd be amazing. Shout-outs go to Pizza Boy Brewing, Sportaculture, HumanHeadNYC.com, SteakhouseSports.com, Go-Bangles.com, and Evergreen Economics. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.